Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News on this Wednesday, October 3rd. I'm going to buy a pumpkin today. Just want to let you know.
I saw a little, like, straw man on my neighbor's steps, which was so fall-like and harvest-like. It warmed my heart.
I love it. Hey, you can always hear us online at npr.org/Bryant Park. I'm Allison Stewart, by the way.
And I'm Luke Burbank. Coming up, Ben Harper plays in our studios. First, though, let's hear about today's top stories from our own newscaster, Rachel Martin.
This is NPR.
Hello, good morning, everyone. There's news this morning that intense diplomatic efforts to curb North Korea's nuclear program have paid off. In a deal announced today, North Korea has agreed to provide a, quote, complete and correct declaration of its nuclear programs and will disable its facilities at its main reactor complex by the end of this year. The agreement came as a result of talks in Beijing last week involving China, the U.S., Japan, Russia, and South and North Korea. The deal puts in writing a promise that key North Korean negotiators made to U.S. diplomats a month ago. As part of the deal, the U.S. will take the lead in seeing that the facilities are disabled, and the U.S. is expected to send a team to North Korea in a couple weeks. Federal prosecutors today in Miami will try to convince a jury that seven men plotted to destroy Chicago's Sears Tower and bomb FBI buildings in a massive Islamic jihad aimed at overthrowing the U.S. government. Attorneys in the case gave opening arguments yesterday. The so-called Liberty Seven were charged as part of an FBI sting operation where an FBI informer posed as an Al-Qaeda operative sent to help them plan and carry out large-scale terrorist acts. Video, taped by the FBI, shows the men pledging allegiance to Al-Qaeda. Defense attorneys said the sting operation was driven by the FBI informant, who they say was a con man, paid $80,000 by the FBI, and that their clients were simply used as pawns. Each of the seven men face up to 70 years in prison if convicted on all charges. A chemical fire at a Colorado hydroelectric plant yesterday has killed five workers who were trapped inside an empty water tunnel. Authorities say rescue teams went in from the bottom of the tunnel to put out the fire and found the workers' bodies. The workers killed were among a group of nine employees who were in the tunnel when a machine used to coat the inside of the four-foot-wide pipe with chemicals caught fire. Meanwhile, the families of the six coal miners killed in a Utah mine collapse are expected to testify before a congressional committee today. The miners were trapped in a cave-in August 6th, and three rescuers died in another collapse a week later. At Senate hearings yesterday, lawmakers were told federal inspectors knew about serious problems at the Crandall Canyon mine before the collapse. The search for adventurer Steve Fawcett has officially been called off. Yesterday, the Civil Air Patrol in Nevada said they are stopping search efforts after a month of scouring the Nevada desert. The 63-year-old Fawcett was last seen September 3rd when he left his hotel in Minton, Nevada in a single-engine plane. In a statement, officials said rescuers covered 20,000 square miles to locate the Fawcett, calling it one of the largest, most intensive searches for a missing aircraft in modern history. Fawcett was the first man to fly around the world in a balloon alone and the first solo pilot to circle the globe without refueling. Finally today, Fugazi fans can rest easy this morning. I am a patient boy. Why? Because Ian MacKaye is alive, which apparently came as a surprise to reporters at the Baltimore Sun and some other news organizations. The paper had gotten information that the 45-year-old frontman for Fugazi had passed away Monday night at Baltimore's St. Agnes Hospital. But a call to the hospital found no evidence of such a patient. MacKaye says he and the record company were blasted with calls after premature reports of his death were posted on MySpace and Wikipedia. And when reporters called MacKaye's home, the punk lead man said, "I am happy to report that I am not dead." I'm Rachel Martin. The news is always online at npr.org. Allison and Luke, back to you